Good evening, everyone. My name is Emma, and this evening we're going to be reading the Bible from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Thanks for reading that. Hey, my name's Tom. If I haven't met you before, I would love to do that afterwards. I say that pretty much every time I get up, and I really do mean it, especially today, because I imagine that today's talk might lead to some further conversations. The topic we are talking about tonight is pornography. We are going to do a whole sermon about the topic of porn. You say, hey, why are we doing this if we're in the Song of Songs series? The Song of Songs is all about relationships, sexuality, and you just can't live in the real world 2024 and think about those topics without thinking about pornography thrown into the mix. Now, if you are new to church, hey, welcome. This is a bit different. Really glad that you're here. I hope that by the end of today, you recognize that these people are not just hiding behind some religious rituals, but we're actually trying to engage God in the real stuff of life. Some of us might be feeling a little bit awkward. You might be feeling kind of a bit of tension as we announce this topic because you're worried about how the next 25, 30 minutes is going to go. I need you to know right from the outset that this is not a beat-up sermon. And this is not a sermon where I'm going to try and throw guilt at you. I'm hoping that by the end of today, you might actually be equipped, inspired, uplifted enough to push forward in what I imagine you already have in your heart. I'm here to help you and not to throw guilt at you. The reason that we all need help is because we're caught in cycles, whether we're talking about pornography or any other kind of addictive behavior, we're caught in cycles that look a little bit like this. I borrowed this from Elliot, who preached this sermon in the morning. It might work as simply as this. You know, you watch some porn, and by the way, can we pause? I'm aware that it's not just watching that we're talking about, but for a lot of people, this is not just a guy's issue, it's an everyone issue, and for a lot of people, it's not just watching, but like reading stuff that can fall into that category that you would call porn. So it's watching, reading porn. What that does is it gives you some kind of a dopamine release, it gives you good feelings. Obviously, that means that you're going to want to do it again. The problem is that as you kind of any addictive behavior, you need more of the substance or you need a more extreme version of the substance as the years go on. And the whole cycle goes round and round. This is the kind of thing that people get caught in. And I imagine that for a lot of us, we need help. So when you need help, where do you go? Let's have a look at what YouTube said. I've been on a bit of a YouTube rabbit hole this week. I really hope that nobody goes through my church Wi-Fi internet history. So I've been on YouTube just typing in porn, and what I get is TED Talks. And I just want to take you through kind of what are people outside of church world saying about pornography. Big picture, what's interesting to note is there's not many talks that you're going to be able to find that are saying, hey, this is why porn is a great idea. Even people outside of church world have started cottoning on to the idea that this is not helping us as a society. Now, one of the most obvious ways that this is not helping us was outlined in the first talk. I saw this was Gary Wilson, and he said, hey, there's a connection between watching porn and erectile dysfunction. That's probably going to concern you if you are about half of the room. The other half, you're like, hey, whatever, no dramas. But what I really like about this second talk that we'll throw up on the screen is it takes less of a self-centered approach and starts thinking about other people. So this is Megan Johnson. She talks about the link between the pornography industry and the sex slavery industry. So the pornography industry both drives and supplies the growing demand for sex slaves. In that talk, it's just a TED talk, you can find it online. She talks about an experiment they did. They basically just showed a whole bunch of people some porn. And then they said, tell us which of the videos you just saw has coerced people as the actors in it. Tell us which of the videos you just saw contain people who are doing that of their own free will, and which of the videos you just saw contain people who are effectively caught in sex slavery. And the crazy result was that the people couldn't tell. What that means is that if you are engaged in like visual porn, it is possible that you're watching something on your phone that looks as though everyone's having a fantastic time, and actually what's happening is that you're watching people who have been coerced in the most horrific kind of ways. And that is a possibility that really does quite disturb us. TED Talk that I saw was by Maria Arlen. This is one of the most, the highest rated TED Talks about porn that you can find on YouTube there. She's very interested in the idea of aggression. So she says in porn, the typical response to aggression is precisely the opposite of what you'd expect in real life. Now, that's a really helpful insight. What it's created is a very interesting idea that you really have to stop and talk about, which is the idea of ethical porn. Ethical porn, where you say, hey, I get that I probably shouldn't be watching porn that has like super high levels of aggression in it. So maybe if we got a video where everybody like sat down at the start and said, I consent to this, and there's like really good pay structures built around it, we can call it ethical porn, and maybe ethical porn is okay because it's not the kind of porn that she's talking about. And I imagine that this is a thought that for a lot of us in the room, we have genuinely thought at many points. You might have walked in here tonight feeling like, yeah, ethical porn is okay. I just need to be really clear up front that if you're actually tuned into kind of the way God is thinking about these things, there is no such thing as ethical porn. The idea here is actually that God has created sex. It was God's idea. He didn't just suddenly turn around when Adam and Eve started going for it and was like, whoa, you guys really beat me on that one. God created it and God's got a plan for it. And it's pretty hard to justify the idea that God is in favor of any form of pornography. One of the really clear ways that you can get this sense is that when you read the New Testament and you see the English words translated as sexual immorality, the Greek word that stands behind that is literally the word porneia. So anytime you see the word sexual immorality printed in your English Bible, pornography is probably included in that broader system. It's pretty hard to say that ethical porn is ethical if you're tuned into the ethics of God and the way that he's thinking about sexuality. Fourth video that I watched was from a guy called David Norwell. It's a bit more recent. It's his journey of leaving pornography behind. And I need you just to turn on your analytical brain for a second as you see this quote. Exploring sexuality is healthy, and for many, porn can be a part of the process, but for me, I couldn't control it. That's what he's saying. Now, think about this. In his mind, what's bad about porn? He's saying it's the fact that I couldn't control it. And so maybe in his argument, you can make an argument that as long as you're on top of it, as long as you're in control, maybe it's not as much of a big deal. And maybe it's kind of a part of healthy sexual exploration. But here's the thing, right? When Adam and Eve had sex for the first time within like kind of God's good design, I don't think they were like flicking through a couple of videos first to work out what their special kinks were so that they could be like better prepared for the sexual experience. There's actually something incredibly beautiful about being able to come to sexuality and to express your sexuality, not in a way that's derivative from what you've watched, but actually to be actually authentically true to yourself rather than just copying what you've seen on some website or read in some book that has a high spice rating. Now, if you come to the fifth final video that I watched, this is Ellie Nash. And I actually really like this one. This guy was talking about his journey moving away from porn as well. And he talks about feelings. I love this because when we're thinking about porn, very few of us are sitting down making a rational pros and cons list and then kind of acting out of our best thoughtful natures. It's usually a feeling. I feel this way. And he says, you want to talk about feelings? Let's talk about the feeling of overcoming porn. Let's talk about the feeling of turning your shame upside down. And I hope that this is one of the big things you take from today, that there is an incredible feeling available to you. It's the feeling of saying, I was captured by this, but no longer. I was under the control of that thing, and yet now I'm able to experience a life without it. There is an incredible feeling available to you. So there's my little tour around YouTube. Those are some of the videos just from outside of church world, what they're saying. I want to recommend one particular video to you. This is by a pair of Christians here. They're called With the Perrys. And so the lady on the right there is called Jackie Hill Perry. She's kind of the famous one. She's married to the guy on the left. And the guy on the left in these videos, he talks about his own journey within marriage of Jackie discovering that he was watching porn and then how that all played out for them as Christians. It's super helpful. It's particularly helpful, for example, if you're given to the idea that one day I'll get married and that will solve all of my problems. You watch this video and you're like, ah, it's probably not true. I probably actually need some deeper heart work. So the video is called, the channel is called With the Perrys. You can get it as like a podcast, you can get it as a YouTube and Instagram, whatever. Would thoroughly recommend that to you if you want to keep thinking in this area. So we've had a think about YouTube. Before we just get to our tour of the Bible, I've got one more thing I'd love to do, which is to try and draw out some of the details of how this works in our life. I hope that maybe part of your reality gets named on this slide. So can we start by noting that work from home and online study is not helping us when we think about porn, right? Because more than there has been ever before, people are sitting at home on their laptops in a room all day on their own. And you get to lunchtime and you're like, oh, there's a new temptation that probably didn't exist as much in the past. So our world is harder to resist porn than maybe it was 5 years ago. You've got a difficult task ahead of you. For some people, second reality, leaning into pornography is actually not so much about the sex thing. It's more about boredom, right? Like you've been sitting in a room on your own all day on your laptop and you're like, I feel understimulated or whatever it is. And something happens when you fire up all of those dopamine receptors and stuff, and you're actually just looking for something interesting. You're looking for something exciting, and maybe for you it's boredom. Maybe it's not boredom, though, for you. It's like disconnection. And there's something that goes on where you go, I'm not feeling like I'm in particularly fulfilling relationships with other people. It's been a day where I spent a lot of time on my own. And there's something attractive about the idea of watching other people have a physical moment of connection, even if it's not really what you're after, which is that kind of social relational form of connection. But we run to something. It's the closest thing we know. And for others of us, it's just because you're worried, right? You're up late at night, worried about the thing that's coming tomorrow. And you know one way of just calming yourself down. And that's maybe part of your reality when we come to start thinking about porn. On top of that, I want to just kind of position myself on our side today, because sometimes you're not even looking for porn. Porn comes looking for you, right? Like you buy a new book, you don't check the spice rating online before you buy it. You take it home and 10 pages in, you're like, wow, I am reading some pretty full-on stuff here that I wasn't even planning on. I've talked to other guys and they're like, hey, I don't even need to load up like a bad website to look at porn. Like I'm getting fed porn just through my regular social media app. Just like even the most well-intentioned person on any algorithm is going to at some point get thrown some sexual content. So sometimes it's non-porn books and non-porn apps that actually get people going. And all of this is like most direct when you start thinking about Netflix, right? Like you're sitting there doing the officially like sanctioned activity called just wasting your life on Netflix. That's okay. And you're looking for the next thing to watch. You turn something on and it's someone's got a formula at Netflix where they're like, in the first 2 minutes, if you want people to watch this show, they must take off their clothes. Like, and you're thinking, I just wanted to watch a period piece, like, you know, and somehow I'm just watching, that's two people having sex, like, but it's in Netflix, does that count? Like, it all gets a little bit foggy real quick. And then there's AI porn, right? And this is going to get real crazy real quick because people are going to start being able to type in what they want to see, and you don't even need to go find it. You're going to be able to generate it just using your keyboard. And beyond all of this, porn doesn't just have an impact on me and you. It actually has an impact on your partner. So when your this is part of, for a lot of people actually in the room, this is part of your story right now. It kind of distresses you that your partner has or is currently in a pattern of watching pornography. And that creates a whole new set of tensions, even if you don't feel like it's your thing. And so, hopefully you feel like somewhere on that board or something that we've touched so far is connecting close to your world. I want to say that we need help. We need help. And having had a look on YouTube, I reckon we can do a little bit better. Let's open our Bibles. Let's see what there is to help us there. If you've got a physical Bible, you're going to be aided by that. I want to take you on a whirlwind tour of the Bible, 5 verses, and I hope that at least one of them is going to really pop for you. I reckon the question that you can ask when you turn to the person at the end of the service today is you can say, hey, did any of those 5 verses help? And here's what they are. First one, it's on the screen, Genesis 1:27. This tells you about the very nature of humanity. This verse has implications for so many things, including how we think about porn. Here it is. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You notice the phrase there, image of God? Now, I know that not all porn is like watching, but just work with the watching idea for a minute. You're watching these people. Who am I watching? I'm watching image bearers of God. I'm watching people who he loves and who he gives the highest degree of dignity and worth and value to. And what I'm celebrating in this moment is their degradation. That is what is happening when I tune into porn. So God created mankind in his own image. We are watching image bearers of God giving themselves up to something that is the opposite of what we were made for, to glorify the one who made us. It just starts to change your mind about what you're seeing. I'm watching image bearers degrading each other, and I'm taking part in it by watching it. That's the first one. I wonder if that's helpful, just in reframing your mind. Let me take you on a second one. This one's going to be a little bit more uplifting, a little bit more equipping for you. Come with me to Jesus, and come with me to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Notice the repeated word here. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The tempter came to him. Have you caught on to the idea that Jesus is sinless? Have you got this, right? The whole Christian thing is that there was only one guy ever who never upset God. His name was Jesus. He could do it because he was the God-man, the Son of God. He lived the perfect, sinless life. And that means that all your sin can go onto him because he's a blank canvas with any sin of his own. And yet, pay attention to what's on the screen. While being sinless, he was also tempted. And what that means is that temptation and sin live in different categories. Here's how that's helpful. You're sitting in your room, you're thinking, oh, I could load up that website, or I could pull down that book from the bookshelf. I'm being tempted in this moment. And lots of people in that moment, you say, ah, it's all over. I'm on the train already. I may as well just follow it through to its completion because the game is lost. I've been tempted. Can you notice here that temptation and sin are in different categories? What that means is that there's an alternative way for that scenario to play out. You're sitting in your room, you think you could load up that website, you could get that book down. You can say, oh, I'm being tempted. I haven't lost just because I'm being tempted. In fact, recognizing that I'm being tempted is an incredible, powerful moment. Because I am now equipped, I could say no to this. Just because you've been tempted doesn't mean you've fallen and doesn't mean you need to ride that train all the way to its completion. Jesus shows us that you can be sinless but tempted. And that's the whole reason that he's able to die for our sins in the cross as our substitute. Hey, there's the second verse from the Bible I wanted to point you to, but we need the next one, which is what happens when I do ride the train all the way? What happens? Is there anything from the Bible that's going to help me in that moment directly after I've stuffed up? You're thinking about literally directly after you're done with your book, directly after you're done with your website. Does the Bible have anything to offer me in that moment? And I want to point you to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. By the way, if you're kind of new to church, this verse is going to take you to the very center of the whole Christian thing, right? Here it is. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that good? I love this verse because it's got the idea of powerless in it, which is so often how we feel in relation to our own like overwhelming sexual urge. And it's got the idea in here of being ungodly. And in that moment, I wonder if you've ever felt this way. It's not even porn, right? It's like literally anything that you know to be sin, anything you know to be against God's will, and you've just done it. And you think in that moment, I'm so low, I'm so disappointed in myself, I'm so whatever I am. This verse says, yeah, you are ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. And if you're willing to put your name next to the label of ungodly, then this verse reads that Christ died for me and Christ died for you, even while we were still powerless. Now, before we talked about the chemical dopamine cycle, this verse, if you understand it, breaks the sin cycle as well. Here's kind of a standard experience for people who have been trying to follow Jesus for a long time, right? You do something that you know is sin and you feel gross about it. You feel icky about it. You feel guilty about it. And what it leads you to do naturally is to withdraw from God and to withdraw from his people. But what's the result of that? Is it sends you back on the cycle, right? It sends you back to sin because like the further you withdraw from God, the further you withdraw from his people, that's not an environment that's going to help you push forward in your holiness. And the cycle goes round and round. But if you understand Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly, then you're in a position to chop the cycle off. And it could look a little bit something like this, right? You sin and you feel gross about it still, right? Actually, being a Christian, you probably will still sin. There's this thing called sinless perfectionism that's not true, that says once you're a Christian, like you never do anything, you can attain to never doing anything wrong ever again. You do live in a fallen world, so you will keep sinning. And if you're a Christian who's actually close to God, you might even feel worse about it than you did when you were only following God a little bit, because your sensitivity is more in line with his. It's actually good that you feel gross about your sin, but if you understand Romans 5, 6, you can cut the cycle off because Christ died for the ungodly. So what do I do in the moment directly after I've done anything that I know is against God? Do I withdraw or do I draw near? And here's the thing. You think that you can take your sin and kind of hide it from God or just not talk to him for a bit and he might forget about it. But whether you've been in church for a long time or like barely even heard of the idea of God, we're all across the idea that God's the guy who knows everything. And so the safest thing to do with your sin is to take it to him rather than pretend to hide it, because Christ died for the ungodly. So when you're feeling ungodly, the thing to do is to draw near to God, not to separate yourself from him. This is the kind of thing that the writer to the Hebrews, so chapter 4, understood. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You think about that time of need directly after you've done something. With what manner are you able to approach the throne of grace? You're able to approach the throne of grace with confidence. How is that possible? Even after you've just done something that you know would be classed as being ungodly? Well, that's possible because even while we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So the safest thing to do in the moment that you become aware of any sin is to take it straight to God instead of withdrawing. The best thing to do is actually to draw near. And so, we've almost made it to the end. I've taken you through four verses of the Bible. I've got one more, but I actually need to show you this one in the context of a theological framework, right? This is like some nerdy Bible stuff. We're going to apply it to pornography. Here's how it works. It's the framework of the penalty, effect, and power of sin. It's got three parts. If you've been around church for a bit, you might have the elements. Let me put them in a nice, neat box for you, right? When it comes to any sin, including something like porn, the penalty of sin is done away with, right? If you are a Christian, this is incredible. If you are a Christian, the penalty for all of your sin gets transferred over to Jesus because even though he was tempted, he was without sin. And so your penalty is gone. It's incredible. And yet, second part of the framework, you may still experience the effect of sin in your life right now, because we don't live in the new heavens and the new earth just yet. The world is still messed up and fallen. That's exactly the way the Bible leads us to expect it. Two effects of sin that you might feel really obviously in this zone. You might feel the effect on your relationship with your partner when they realize that this is a thing that's been big for you. Second thing is that if you are married or if you're going to get married, you might feel the effects of this sin in the way that it just mucks up your head when you're actually having real sex with a real person, and all that can go through your head is like the images of the things you've seen, and it makes it harder to like actually engage meaningfully in the real moment that you're really having. And that is an effect of sin, an effect of the porn, that you might hold with you actually for quite a long time. Now, there's things we can do to kind of mitigate those effects, and like getting counseling, for example, is an excellent option. But it's worth saying that here tonight, the emphasis is just on the community of other Christ followers and the help that they can provide to you. So as we wrestle with the ongoing effects of our sin, one of your greatest resources is the people sitting around you, who will help you to kind of wisely, gently grieve the effects of those sin and then to navigate your way through it. So we're in a three-part framework, right? Penalty, effect, and power. Here's what I want to say. The power of sin is no longer. And I think if I had one main thing I wanted to push with you here tonight, it's about the power of sin. You go back to that illustration, right? You're sitting in your room and you start feeling a little bit G'd up. You start thinking like down those avenues. And for lots of people, you think, I don't know how to get off this train. I don't know what to do when the idea or the feeling hits. And I want to say that you don't have to. And this is more than positive self-talk psychology stuff, right? They say in Alcoholics Anonymous, when you're trying to give up smoking, right? If somebody offers you a cigarette, you could say, oh no, I'm trying to quit. Or you could say, I don't do that anymore. And it's just a change in the way you think about it, but it's a very different answer. I was literally talking to somebody about 10 minutes before the service, and they were talking about the idea of streaks. You know how like on Duolingo you can have a streak, or like with you going to the gym you can have a streak? The problem with the streak mentality is that you assume it's going to end. And it's actually surprising that you're on the streak. But here's the thing. If you grasp the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can honestly say, I don't have to. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. This is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, so he's got some kind of power going on here. And it lays out the kind of things you can expect the Holy Spirit to do in your heart in this final Bible verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Apply that final characteristic to this idea of pornography, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's the thing. You can exercise self-control. Not just because you got up and took a 4 a.m. cold shower. You can exercise self-control because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Another way of saying this is that you are not controlled. You are not a slave to anything else because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that you're never going to sin again. I'm saying that you can, in that moment, resist the temptation that is offered to you. That is more than positive self-talk because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, let me close by saying, I imagine that all of this starts a chat. I don't imagine that we've finished with this topic at all. I would just really encourage you, if you're feeling like you're close enough to the people at church, in your growth group maybe, or just the people sitting around you, is okay to talk about this stuff over dinner after we're done. You could just turn to the person and say, hey, any of those five Bible verses kind of helpful for you? And that could get your conversation going. Ben, do you guys want to come up? I'm going to pray. God, we repent. We are so sorry that in so many areas of our life, we are so far from you. And we ask that today we'd actually just be super helpful for some people. We thank you so much for the forgiveness of Jesus. We thank you so much that we get to worship you in a spirit of grace and mercy. We thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts. We ask that you would help us because we want to follow you. And we want to be closer to you. And we want to cut out so much sin in our life, particularly tonight. We pray about this area of porn. And everyone who agreed said,